Here we go. Yes, we are live with another episode of Fire Builders Live. My name is Josh Korpel. Welcome to the show. We have an amazing guest on today, Stephanie Moram. Stephanie, welcome to Fire Builders Live.
Thank you.
I'm sure you got kids asking you things in the background. We were just talking already about how chaotic this is. I got roosters everywhere. There's people to, all right. So anyway, we're making it work. So guys, welcome to the show. If you are unfamiliar with how Fire Builders Live works, what we do is we bring on experts every day, Monday through Saturday, and we just take these big concepts, we break them down into simple ideas, simple steps, things that you can do every single day to improve. And today is a very crucial show because we're going to be talking all about Pinterest. Pinterest is the fourth largest social media network and site in the world on the internet. And we're going to be talking about how to essentially grow your brand by using Pinterest pins. And so you're going to find this very interesting if you are somebody that has their own business, that you're doing your own marketing. And Stephanie is going to explain what she has done to grow Good Girl Gone Green. That is her brand. It's amazing. She has been featured in Direct Sales Diva magazine, Blogger, Care 2, Green Child magazine. She's in Canada. She's been in the Huffington Post, Canada. And her mission, and I love how that you have said this, you're guiding people to their perfect shade of green by empowering them to live a little bit more green every day on their own terms without being overwhelmed. And that is a really great way to do it because we've all heard of the green concept, but it can be overwhelming. You got to do this and you got to eat that. And right, it's a lot to change at once if you try to do it. But if you do it just a little bit every day, that's how you can make those changes and have them stick. And with Pinterest, you've taken a really, you know, unique approach. You've used Pinterest as a tool to sort of envelop the world and get them into your world. You provide, and it's not just about going green either. I mean, or eating green, I should say. It's about changing habits. You know, you're putting out there stuff about reducing waste, about cutting back on unnecessary chemicals, of course, about eating more green and green smoothies and stuff like that. So again, this is going to be a great conversation. So Stephanie, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm nervous. I'm excited. If you hear a train right now, it's because the train's going by. If you hear a lawnmower, someone's doing the lawn. And if my daughter's banging on the window, it's because she wants something from me. And now is the time to ask for it. So thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited. And don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If like we hear stuff in the background, like I feel like this show, people tune in sometimes because they just want to see things go wrong. Right. And roosters show up and, you know, and things get knocked over. So seriously, don't even worry about it. We are good to go. But welcome to the show. Seriously. So the way that I like to start this is how about tell people where you are in the world and what is a typical day in Stephanie's life these days?
Typical day pre-COVID or after?
Yeah, you know,
COVID?
I'm starting to get that question like every time I ask that now. So I'm just going to start to be specific. So right now with COVID, in the midst of the lockdown and all of this stuff, what are you doing these days?
So again, thank you for having me, Josh. Super excited. So I'm from Montreal, Canada. I'm about actually 20 minutes north of Montreal. I live in a really small town outside of Montreal. But I would say my life right now since COVID has kind of been a little bit of a shit show. Like, to be honest, got 2 kids, 7 and 9, a little boy and a girl. And it's just been adapting the last 4 months. They go back to school September 1st, go back to school, maybe. And my days used to be when they were at school, I got to work. I got to meet people. I got to network. I was able to do my work for my business. I was able to get the laundry done. I was able to do the dishes, all these things. And then right after March break, everything changed. And the thing is, my husband started a business 2 years ago and it launched a year ago. So he's been gone literally 7 days a week, 16 hour days, 20 hour days. So I've been alone with the kids, and except for today, he took Jackson to work so I could have a bit of quiet to do this video, this podcast. But it's just been kind of adapting. So my days really is never the same. I woke up today and I worked out. My daughter had a tutoring lesson for school. I kind of did some stuff on Instagram, makeshift my outdoors so I could be on the podcast. And then after the podcast, I'll probably go out for a walk with my daughter and maybe go to the coffee shop. But my day really consists of me working at night, which is super hard because I get tired. So it's just been switching around when I can work and finding those pockets. And a friend of mine once said, the beauty of us being entrepreneurs and being able to work on the internet is we're building our business with our two thumbs. And I love that because I'm literally have my phone and I'm building my business with my phone. Of course, I use my Mac, but if I go to the park with the kids, I can sneak onto my phone and post some stories on Instagram. I can post some stuff on Facebook. So it's the dedicated time that's been hard, the dedicated like focus time, you know, getting a challenge together or posting and getting, you know, scheduling for my Facebook groups and stuff like that. That's been the challenging part. But I just keep remembering I can build my business with my two thumbs when they are out and about at the park, when I go for my walks and all that kind of stuff. So it's been a struggle and I can't be the only one.
Sure.
But I've been able to spend so much time with my kids.
That's the big trade-off, you know. It's like you get to spend time with your kids, time that you wouldn't have ever been able to before, or it would have been reduced. But at the same time, your business, like a lot of the stuff is regulated to the little holes that you have in between all of the larger responsibilities. And thank God that we can do it from the phone, you know, like it's amazing how much power that you've got. And also, do you end up having a system? Like when you talk about all your posts and things, and we'll get into the Pinterest stuff. We can dive deep into that. But do you just post randomly or do you try any way to keep yourself on some type of schedule?
Yeah, I try my best to, you know, schedule stuff in advance because on Facebook you can schedule. I use different apps for Instagram to kind of get my pictures ready and what I want to write, look up what hashtags I'm going to use and stuff like that. But sometimes it's on the fly. It just, that is the way life is. Like yesterday I post on Instagram. I'm like, I want to post it. I need to post today. I want to be consistent and post every day. And I was like, this picture is nice. We were just at the park. What can I write about? Something to do with green living, something to do with, you know, it's plastic free July. What could I write about? It's like, I'll write about this. And I did, and I posted it. And other times it'll be more scheduled, but it's just hard right now to schedule everything because the demand is there to be with my kids, right? Like, I'm surprised no one has knocked on the window yet.
It'll happen. I'm taking bets. I'll tell you, well, so how did Good Girl Gone Green, how did that start? Like, what was the genesis of all of that?
So we lived in the U.S. for about 4 years. My daughter actually was born in Wichita, Kansas. And so I worked as a social worker, you know, typical 8:30 to 4:30 job for Child Protective Services. So I had a pretty heavy job. And my husband is an engineer and worked at a company here near our house. And he had the opportunity to go to the U.S. and work for parent companies to Bell Helicopter. That's the company he worked for. So we had that opportunity and he's like, I'm going to go. And I said, but it doesn't mean I can go, right? Like I need to get a sabbatical from work. So I went through the process. I ended up getting a sabbatical. We moved to Augusta, Georgia. And I didn't have much to do other than work out. Like, to be honest, he's at work all day. So I had a friend. We were chatting. She started a mom blog. And she said, you really need to start a website. Like, you need to start a blog and tell people all the information you have in your head. And I just looked and I was like, did you see my marks in English? Like, I'm not a writer. It's like, you don't need to write. You just need information. People crave information. So we got to chatting and I ended up starting Good Girl Gone Green. But how I chose the name was I had two names and I was trying to figure out which one to use. And I didn't have an iPad and it was my birthday in 2011. And my husband bought me an iPad and he put on the back, got it inscribed on the back of the iPad, Good Girl Gone Green. I just looked at him like, I guess that's the name of my website now.
how did he come up with that? Did he just come up with it out of the blue?
Well, his sister is super, super creative. So we had Good Girl Gone Green and Greener Ever After were the two names that I wanted. And she super creative. She's like, you need to play on the Good Girl Gone Bad, you know, gone bad kind of thing. So she came up with that. And I was like, I don't know which one. I'm so glad I went with Good Girl Gone Green. But when he engraved it on the back, I was like, that's the name of my website now. So I got started and I just started networking with people, getting to know people, using Twitter, started Instagram and all that kind of stuff. and just started networking with people. And that's how I started to grow my business.
And so by networking, you mean really just reaching out to people and kind of telling them what you were doing? Did you try to collaborate with them? Or how was the networking? How'd it go?
Like, I would, you know, when I say network, I mean like just creating relationships organically with people. Like, I didn't know what a funnel was. I had MailChimp, but I would send emails like willy-nilly. I didn't know what I was doing. I just started a website and I wanted people to read it. And I knew that I could use maybe Facebook and Instagram at first to get people to read my website. And so I would just connect with people on Twitter, talk to them about common interests and all that kind of stuff. So when I had stuff to launch, like, I'm also in network marketing. So my brand is Good Girl Gone Green. I'm also network marketing, and I'm also, you know, have my whole green side, but it just meshes together. So when I, you know, started working, I had people I already connected with, you know. So many people, when they start their business, they're like, I don't know who to talk to. Well, you go to the gym. These are who people you can connect with, right? So I just would connect with people online, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. So when I had stuff to launch and stuff to talk about to sell to them, they already trusted me, you know, the like, no trust factor, right? So I didn't have to like completely start from scratch when I started selling people stuff, right?
Yeah. And that's where, honestly, that's where I feel that most people don't realize that until they do it one time and they say, oh shit, like, you know, they didn't invest any time into getting the word out and getting the trust built before they release the product or the service. And then once they do, they're like, oh man, people are going to love this. People are going to love it when I release it. They're going to love it as much as I love it. And it usually never happens that way. You need to build that. And that takes time. So kudos to you for like thinking ahead.
Yeah. Even before I launched my website, I was like, I need to get on Twitter. I don't know about this Twitter thing, but let's get on Twitter. And I just started talking to people. And my daughter was probably about 6 months old at the time. So, you know, I had to be with her, but the time that I wasn't, when she was sleeping, napping, or just playing on the floor, I was like, boop, 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 on Twitter, on Facebook, you know, on Instagram, just creating those relationships organically. For me, that's what helped grow my business, was creating the organic ones. And then I moved to more, and I still grow my business organically. I still am on Instagram, connecting with people, offering them my freebie, sending messages to new followers, all that kind of stuff. I'm still connecting organically, because why wouldn't I? Just because you know, make X amount of money and you have a great funnel, I still want to connect with people. I still want to know who's reading my stuff. I still want to say hi. I don't want it to be necessarily a robot all the time. That's doing anything for me.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, it's quality over quantity in that aspect, right? I mean, it's just getting those relationships, or there's really no substitute for it. And actually, so I want to put this up too, because you mentioned that you weren't a writer. And by the way, if anybody watching right now, while we're live, has any questions or comments, just throw them in the chat and we will bring them up. Like Parian said here, you saying I am not a writer is such an encouragement for all upcoming entrepreneurs. I mean, because a lot of people say, look, I don't have a degree in writing. I'm not an English major. I don't know if people are going to like what I have to say, if I'm articulate enough, things like that. So just know that a lot of people feel that way. You know?
And I think also, you know, copywriting is so big, right? I've paid thousands upon thousands. I don't even know how much money, and it doesn't always convert. And I'm not saying not pay a copywriter, but sometimes using your own voice with spelling mistakes actually works really well too. You know what I mean? I do have someone that checks my grammar, because, you know, the grammar police come out all the time, but it's my words. I put my words on paper and then she edits it, versus paying someone, a copywriter, just because, or she helps me write my copy, because I felt like I've paid all this money for copywriting and it didn't actually transition to anything. But when I get on Instagram or I do something on Facebook and I use my own language and my own words, then I get tons of traction.
Yeah. Yep.
So
exactly.
And the thing was, I didn't have someone before that I would help with my grammar. I just made mistakes and rolled with the punches. You know what I mean? And I just think it's important to just get your message out there. And if you make mistakes, the grammar police is going to show up. They always do. It's super annoying, but they're sitting behind their computer, probably not as an entrepreneur, and never put themselves out there. So kudos to you for putting yourself out there and making, you know, using then instead of then. You know what I mean?
Seriously. If you don't have grammar haters, you're probably not putting out content fast enough. You know, you got to get it out there. But I agree. And so that's a perfect thing. Would you say that, so I've seen a lot of the stuff on Pinterest that you've done. I mean, you do so much, and the stuff that you create just gets people into your world, whether you offer a free guide or whether you offer a recipe of some sort or some tips on how to reduce different toxins in your home, things like that. For you, everything that you've learned about Pinterest, about using Pinterest, what would you say would be really like the key thing that you've learned? If you had to teach this to somebody who's never used Pinterest before and you needed to start somewhere, with everything that you've learned, what do you think that would be at this point?
I think it's going to be what we tell everyone: to be consistent. Like, be consistent on your pinning. First, you need a website to get started with Pinterest, like just a URL to get it. So that's the first thing I would actually tell somebody. But to be consistent in your pins. And there is a great program called Tailwind that's out there that you schedule your pins. So every hour, pins are going out, and they can be, and you have to balance out yours versus other people's. You can't just be self-promoting on this. So you have to be sharing other people's stuff as well. So you schedule your pins with Tailwind, but you also got to be sharing other people's stuff as well. It can't just be like me. So Tailwind is a great way to schedule your pins, so you're not sitting at your computer every hour going, share. And that would be my first thing, is to get it, look at it. And it's just a great scheduling app to like free up your time. And you need stuff to pin. So you need a website. And Pinterest is typically, you know, the crafty, you know, DIY stuff, but there is business on there. There are people looking for business tips. So it could even be that you have a website and you just like 5 tips to blah, 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 create a nice graphic, and then you share that on Pinterest. So it's just, you want to be getting traffic to your Pinterest, and you want it to be shared. So you need to be sharing something that is going to grab people's attention. And if you just go to Pinterest and scroll through, look at what grabs your attention. You know what I mean? What image is grabbing your attention? And how do you stand out on Pinterest? If you just put a picture, you know, like of yourself, and there's no writing on it, and there's nothing, no one's going to click on it. It needs to stand out. Some people are super creative on how they create their images, so all their images look the same to catch people's attention. But I would say use the scheduling feature on Tailwind, so your content is constantly being pushed out. So you are being consistent in that.
And how, within that consistency, like, how are you using Pinterest? So, you know, you create these graphics, which I also have a question about how you create the graphics, but we'll go there in a second. But once you create them and you pin them, in addition to pinning other people's stuff and sharing other people's stuff, what is the end goal for you? Is it to gain followers on Pinterest, or is it to shoot them over to your website? How do you use it?
Well, the first step is just to get visibility on Pinterest. And then my second one is I do ads on Pinterest. So I'm not gonna say nobody, but it's not like Facebook and Instagram with ads. There's not a lot of people doing ads on Instagram or on on Pinterest right now. And it's less expensive as well. So my end game is to have that consistency, so my followers are seeing that I'm consistently pushing out, but then I have ads going through, and my ads are going to stuff that I want with a action step. So I used to pin like my recipe, but I would pin my recipes and have ads with them. But what I realized was they would get to my website and then they could click anywhere. Would they sign up for my freebie? They're going into like this black hole. I don't know if we were talking about this. I feel like we were talking about this on our call, or I was talking to somebody else. Was it you when you said you go into the black hole of the website and you're like,
yeah, you don't know where to go or what to do. You've got all these rooms to choose from and you're not exactly sure.
So yeah. So we were talking about that on our chat, Josh and I, that, and it's true, because you send somebody to my DIY sugar scrub and they get there and then they're like, awesome, now what do I do? Right. They don't know to go sign up for my shopping guide. They don't know I have a challenge necessarily. And they go into the scroll hole, and all of a sudden they're on someone else's website. So for me,
I've never heard the scroll hole. That's awesome. Oh, that's such a great term. Sweet.
So it is like the scroll hole on your phone. So what I do for my ads is I'm giving them a specific action to take, like go sign up for my free shopping guide, eco shopping guide, or go join my challenge, or hey, I have a membership, come over here and sign up. So when I do my ads, it's to a specific place. I want them to go there and take this action. Whereas when I'm pinning on Pinterest, it's to get, I want people to know who I am. I want them to show I have value, that I have content. And you also have to remember, Pinterest isn't necessarily like the typical social media outlet. People are going there to search. It's like SEO. You need to use proper terms so they find your stuff. That's the other thing. You have to use it, think about it as a search engine. That is what Pinterest is. It's not like Facebook and Instagram where yes, you can search on Instagram for keywords, but Pinterest, you're not creating tons of relationships. You're not, you know, you can slide into their DM, but it's not the same thing. You know, you're not necessarily creating those relationships. It's like, oh, pretty picture, click. Oh, I want to make that for dinner tonight, click. Oh, I can learn how to grow my business, click. Oh, I can make sugar scrub, click. Oh, I should bring a reusable bag with me, click. So people are scrolling, the picture is grabbing their attention, and then they click on the image. And they don't care who the person is. They're not like, you know, they might be searching for me, but they're looking for those images. So what I've done is I pin with Tailwind, you know, to get my content out there so people go to my website, know who I am. But then when I do ads, it's very specific to where I'm sending them.
I love that. You know? I mean, yeah, because it takes the thought out of it. Like, you know, for as much as people value free will and choice, they also value very heavily not having to choose. And you just telling them, look, like, just do this. Just here's what you do. It's just so much easier mentally to go through that exercise. And I want to put up a couple of things here before we go further. Let's see. So Perian said a DIY for business, right? Which essentially she was talking about, I think just Pinterest in general. Isabel says, I definitely need to up my game on Pinterest. I need your help for that, Steph. So there you go. You guys can connect afterwards. I'm sure maybe you know who that is. Let's see. Tara said, you know, back to just do people trash what you say or do? I think that she was, when she was referring to that, she was talking about like the grammar police and how you handle right. that. Cause you're not going to please everybody. Even if the grammar is perfect, I guess you shouldn't have the expectation that what you pin on Pinterest, everybody's going to like.
Right. And it's just, and sometimes I respond, I'm like, and I'll be very kind. Cause I throw kindness at people. I'm not going to get mad at them. I know some people say, oh, just throw back in the face. I'm just like killing them with kindness. You know what I mean? So I'll just say back, like, I'm sorry. I won't even apologize for my mistake. I'll say, oh, thanks for letting me know. I'll be sure to fix that next time I send out my email. Or, hey, thanks for letting me know, blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, see you later.
Yeah. And then go on to like the millions of other people that, you know. Yeah, exactly. And so with like specifically for Pinterest, I'm curious because I do a lot of graphics too. How do you like to create your graphics? And especially for those that I think that are worried about it, that they're not graphic designers, they don't use Photoshop, like things like that. What do you think?
Canva. So Canva is so great. It's like $12 a month if you get like the pro edition. You get all these bells and whistles. And so I'm at a point where I don't make my own graphics anymore, but the people that do, they use Canva. So I have, you know, virtual assistant that'll make graphics for Facebook and stuff like that. And then I have someone that helps me with Pinterest now, just because it's gotten to a point where I can't be everywhere, right? We need to scale our business sometimes. But I was the one doing Pinterest before. I understand how it works and I understand how ads work. So now I feel comfortable going, hey, can you, you know, set this up for me, show me the copy after, and let's get this going. So I wanted to understand Pinterest and their ads and how it worked before I gave it off to somebody, because Facebook and Instagram, no idea how the ads work. Let's be honest. If I go in the back and I'm trying to figure out ads, I'm like, I'm out. I would have to pay someone thousands upon thousands of dollars to do my Facebook for me, where I'm not paying that for someone to do my Pinterest. And I'm getting results. I'm getting leads. I'm getting people clicking on stuff. And one thing that I learned from the person that helps me with my Pinterest ads is that people, like I said, want to know what to do. They want to be told. So they want on the Pinterest picture to be, you know, something like when I was doing my 5-day challenge, it was very clear on the image and the copy that they were getting that 5-day challenge and that they were entering their email address and their name. So that when they clicked on it, they weren't like, oh, I thought I was getting a recipe or I thought I was getting something else. And that the, you know, you stay on brand as well. So my colors are pink and green. So everything's always pink and green. So I did my, you know, my membership or my 5-day challenge, and it was very clear in the copy, hey, sign up for this 5-day challenge. You will get blah, blah, blah. That's on my sales copy. Once you click, enter your name and email address, because I feel like it's different than Instagram and Facebook. People know when they click on something, they're probably giving their email address. Whereas on Pinterest, they don't, because they're there to search for stuff. They're there to find a DIY recipe, maybe learn about business, maybe learn about this, and not necessarily give their email address. So if you're upfront with it, I think people appreciate that way more.
Do you have any idea? Because I have no idea. Does Pinterest give you metrics at all?
Yep,
like, can they tell you how much your conversion is on a lot of that stuff?
Yeah, they'll tell you like how many clicks you're getting, even on the stuff that isn't paid. You'll see how many clicks you're getting, how many views you get. So when you're on Pinterest, it shows how many people saved it, how many people viewed it, and view is just like they probably scrolled by it, how many clicks you got, and how many clicks, views, and shares. You can see how many people shared your content as well. So even if you delete the pin, that content is still housed there, which is really great. If for whatever reason decide to delete a pin, but your content's always there. So the more people are sharing it, the more it's getting out there and the more eyeballs are getting on your stuff. And so, people love to share on Pinterest.
And when you say like when you delete it, but your content's still out there, are you saying that if somebody has shared your pin, right, mm-hmm. and it's on their board somewhere, mm-hmm. and you decide to delete it, it's still on their board?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got it.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Well, so that's interesting. And I can see it working really well for, just for like for lifestyle, you know, like people looking for cool, inspiring ideas for lifestyle changes, which is why I think it's just so genius that you use this, because it really is such a visual medium. What do you think if people just took your advice and did something consistently, right? For the next 30 days, let's just say as an example, right? Never done anything before on Pinterest, but try it out for 30 days, try to gain some traction. In your experience, if they follow that advice, where do you think they'd end up?
And I just want to say, and so if you decide to do ads, it takes longer to get traction on Pinterest versus Facebook and Instagram. So it could take 30 days before you really start seeing those results from ads. But I do think if you're not going down the paid route and you're just consistent in posting, your views will go up. You know what I mean? You'll go up to, you know, I started at 30,000, worked my way up to 400,000. Like, you're going to those views on Pinterest. And when I say views, it's not necessarily my content they're seeing. They're just viewing stuff that I've pinned. And that's why it's important to like balance your stuff and their stuff. So I would say you could, you know, your views definitely on Pinterest would go up, and then it would give you the chance to start looking at ads and spending $5 a day and testing it out. And the ads is a whole other topic, but you just need to be mindful that with Pinterest, it is SEO. So you need those keywords. So when you're posting your own stuff, to have those keywords also in your description. And then when you're doing the same thing with ads, you know, I put 150 keywords plus. You know,
they limit you on the number of keywords that you can add?
That's a good question. I'm not 100% sure. For paid, I've put 150. What they do is they will give you suggestions and then you can choose your own. So I kind of do a balance of both. I'll choose my own and then I'll take some of their suggestions, because that means people are looking for those hashtags. Yep. And another great thing is to look up, what are people searching for? Go on Pinterest and search for DIY bath salts. Are people searching for that? Are people searching for 5 tips to grow your business? Are people searching for how to use Pinterest to grow your business? Are people searching for how to use Facebook for your business? Look at what keywords are actually being searched and then use those ones.
And you might have said this, but I missed it. Where do they find that out? Like, where do they find that information? On Pinterest itself, or is there an external tool? Yeah, to judge the search volume when of you specific
just go
keywords.
On, yeah, when you go on Facebook, there's like a search bar. So I'll just put a word in. I'll be like, hey, is this being searched often? Is it popular? Like, what is it? And then I'll use that word. kind of like I do on Instagram. Like, I kind of use a search tool on Instagram, but sometimes it sucks. So I do my own. So I'll just go on Instagram, put a hashtag. I'll be like, whoa, that's been viewed way too many times. I'm not going to get traction because I'm not big enough, or that's too small. I won't get traction. So I kind of do the same thing on Pinterest, where I just search for words that I feel like people will search for.
Where have you found that sweet spot in your experience, like where it's not too like crazy searched for, where the competition's going to be out of this world, but it's worth your time? There's got to be somewhere in the middle. Have you found like a pretty good sweet spot?
For me, that's a good question. I don't even, like, I'm trying to visualize Pinterest right now, like what it looks like. I'm going to pull up my Pinterest and I won't kill my, and the one thing that I do love about Pinterest is just that it's a search engine.
Yeah.
So even in your bio, you put the keywords, you know, when you do your description, everything about keywords, because when you search for stuff, like if you use Google or any other search engine, Pinterest pops up in the images. So you're going to want to use those words.
And while you're doing that, and while you're searching for that, I'll just put this up here. Isabel said, I'm constantly searching for info on Pinterest, but I've never posted anything there. I post daily on Facebook and Instagram, but never thought about doing it on Pinterest. So there you go. Like, you're changing lives already. Even we're only 30 minutes in. And also, Isabel, she put this question up. How do you know if a subject is searched often? So do you just judge it by the fact that it pops up instantly, like when you type in a few letters, like it auto-populates? Yeah,
it doesn't really show you. So if I'm on Instagram now and I'm like, oh, I want to look up, trying to think of a topic, like DIY. Like right now what pops up, DIY home decor, DIY clothes, DIY furniture. So those are the ones that I would use if that was my niche. Or if I put DIY bath, and it's going to say DIY bathroom remodel, DIY bathroom vanity, DIY bathroom. So it gives you the most searched ones. It doesn't give you a number beside it, if that makes sense. So if I did bath salts, then it's going to give me a ton of ideas. Here it says DIY bath salts, recipes, how to make DIY bath salts. So those could be two words that I would use because that's what popped up. And then I would search for something else for that. But that's like when you're doing, just posting on Pinterest and not paying, you can't use as many keywords. I think it's 300 words, if I'm not mistaken. So when you're doing ads, your hashtags are not going in your description. They're like behind the scenes, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're not doing ads and you're posting like organically, they are going in the description.
I think I would like to say 300 words, but I could be wrong. So don't quote me on that. Someone could go check on Pinterest. And also I would recommend using a business account. I use a business account with Pinterest as well. So you can do those ads and stuff like that.
You can only post, you can only have an ad from a business account. You can't have an ad from a personal account.
You can, because it's weird. When I go into my Pinterest, for some reason, it always, my name pops up and also Good Girl Gone Green. I would have to check that. I would assume you can only do it with a business, but I've always had a business, so I don't actually know the answer to that question.
Yeah.
So, good question. No,
but it makes sense. It makes sense. It totally makes sense. And I'm curious now, like your thought process. So as you find topics, you do your search, you say, oh, you know what? This is a pretty seemingly like an interesting topic. It's one that I know about. And then also I'd like to create something for this. Walk me through just a little bit about your creation process. How do you go from that search term to figuring out what you're going to post on Pinterest, what your graphic's going to be, like where you're going to lead them? Like, how does all that work for you?
Well, some stuff I already have blog posts. So that stuff is just like generating. I'm just posting, you know, my bath salts, anything about green living that I already have on my website. That's done. That's being posted. So when I'm thinking of like, okay, I want to come up with content, I'll search on Google. I'll search on Pinterest to see what's being searched. If everyone is looking for, I don't know, DIY foaming soap right now for whatever reason, I'm like, oh, that would be a great idea to make that as a blog post. So I'll go on Pinterest. I will look up keywords to see what's being searched for that has to do with my niche. And then I'll create that content. And like I said, some of my content's already created and I might update it, update it so when people do click on it on Pinterest, it's more attractive. And then I try to keep my images to like look on brand, you know, my fonts and stuff like that. So on Canva, when you get the business Canva, it's like, I think it's $12 a month, US, you can upload your own graphics, fonts. You can upload your own colors. So when you're making your graphics, it'll look like your brand versus when you don't have that business and you're not paying, you can't upload your own fonts and you can't upload your colors.
Yeah. So it could potentially be all over the place, like just a confusing mess. Yeah.
Well, because on Canva, they'll have like their specific, you know, fonts and it might look like yours, but if you want it to be specific to yours, then you're able to upload them.
Do you use templates or have you sort of figured out like designed your own sort of,
Well, templates, like, so my VA says she's making like a graphic for me. She has a template set up and then she just plugs and plays, you know, with whatever is going to be on that graphic. Yeah. So I'll have templates in Canva to create those images. And the same thing for Instagram, same thing for Facebook. They're just there. And then I just switch the image or whatever, the quote or something like that.
Well, how about frequency, right? So how often do you try to post on Pinterest? Do you try and do like one a day or multiple a day? What have you
found? That's the thing. So on Tailwind, I'm a pin's going out every hour. So it's scheduled for the whole day. That's like, if you want it, and that's what, and the other thing is you want to get to know people. Let me backtrack. So people search for groups. So there's Tailwind groups and then there's like Pinterest groups. So you'll have a board that's a group. So someone creates, let's say, vegan desserts, and then they invite people to that board to pin their vegan desserts. Or it could be, you know, if you're in business, it could be some sort of business board. So a board is where you host pins, your pins and other people's pins. But people also create groups. So you want to be posting to your boards and other people's boards. So if you're pinning to other people's boards, now you're getting to see a whole different audience. So you want, so I'm posting, I think I have one going out every hour. Like if you look in Tailwind, it's like image, 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 image. It's just you upload it and it's being pinned every hour. And it could be like, say, go back to the bath salts. That's all I'm talking about. So I have my DIY bath salts. It might be pinned, you know, 30 times in a day, but it's going to 30 different boards. It's going to groups that I'm part of, and then it's going to mine. You know, so you're playing around with that balance of your pinning your stuff, but also in different places. You're not just pinning it to your boards, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. So, and anyone that has joined those groups, they can post whatever pin they want on those boards.
Yes, as long as it has to, you know, a lot of the time the admin will be like, it has to do with the topic. You know, I'm not going to post a vegan, you know, vegan desserts like a DIY basil. Like that would make no sense. But some of them are more general where it'll be like, oh, green living. So then it's kind of a free for all. What is my version of green living? I could post recipes. Some of them are specific recipes. I might say, you know, lunch and dinner time recipes. So no desserts, you know, you need to post specific. Sometimes it's very specific to what the admin might want you to post.
Yep. Got it. And that's,
and just reach out to people.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just going to ask you that actually, do you, if someone, like, how do you communicate on Pinterest? Is it there's messaging a system?
Yep, yeah. There's a DM. So like, say, my Pinterest VA that's been helping me. So say she's, you know, searching on Pinterest and she finds some boards. So send a message, go, hey, so-and-so, I saw that you have a vegan dessert group or board. Can I be added to that board? And then they respond yes or no. And then they add me to the board. Now I can start pinning to that board.
Got it. And if you, and it's like anything, right? If you just go in there and start pinning all of your own stuff and abuse it, they're probably going to kick you out. So you got to find that balance.
Right. Like, and some of them might be old groups where it's not really monitored. Like sometimes I go in, I'm like, this has nothing to do with the topic. Like I'll see what people are pinning, and other people are very on top of it, and it's their brand, right? So if they're, you know, a vegan and they have these boards and they have a couple of group boards, it still shows up in their Pinterest, right? Like on their main. So they don't want people to start pinning meat on there. That wouldn't make sense.
Yeah.
So there's some people that are admins that are very strict and they monitor, and then other ones are a little bit more loose. They might forget that they had a group. You know, maybe they started it like 3 years ago, but I just try to, you know, just follow the directions and just honor that and follow what they say and not do something crappy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's, we're playing the long game here, you know? You got to like, right. Well, here, so let me put this up. So Darlene says, Stephanie always has the best information, right?
Thank
Wanted
you,
to say that. And if people want to get in touch with you, they want to ask you some questions, they got some follow-up stuff, they want to learn more about Pinterest, they want to learn more about Good Girl Gone Green, what is the best way these days for people to get in touch with you?
I just got to drop it. FedEx is here. Just buzz, just pick up the phone and say, leave it downstairs.
There you go. Perfect.
There it is.
We knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to happen.
I knew FedEx would probably come during this time. I think the best way is either Instagram or Facebook, but I tend to respond to Instagram more. So my Instagram is goodgirlgonegreen_ because someone stole it. So there's an underscore underneath, or you can just find me on Facebook, Stephanie Warham, and I'll answer. But stuff tends to get lost on Facebook and not Instagram.
Yeah.
But either one.
It's funny. It's funny. It's interesting. Like how certain people just gravitate to different social media, right? Like some people just naturally gravitate more to Instagram. For me, like I have trouble keeping up with Instagram messages and stuff like that. So I just regulated to Facebook and that's where but that's just me.
What I like on Instagram is you can, there's like a little flag, so you can flag them. So if there's one I want to keep, I'll like flag it and then it'll save it. So when I go, I can click on the flag and I'll see all the stuff I flagged and then I can look at those messages.
I didn't even know about the little flag thing.
Little flag on the right. And when you click it, it turns like an orangey color.
Interesting. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm learning stuff now too about Instagram. Jesus. Well, this has been such a good conversation, especially because, you know, like I'm a very visual guy. I like Pinterest. It seems, would you say, I should maybe ask this at the very beginning because I'm super curious and maybe you know, maybe you don't know. I don't know. But what the distribution is on Pinterest between women and men, do you find it's like the majority is women?
I would say, I would say women just because it's very, not that men don't DIY, not that men don't make supper. It's just, I think a lot of women go on Pinterest as like an outlet to find stuff. Instead of Googling what you're having for dinner, you just put in the search bar, like I'll put in vegan cheese. Let's say I want to make vegan cheese. Then all of a sudden all these pins pop up with all these vegan cheese recipes. And then I just decide if I want to make it, or I'll put gluten-free muffins or gluten-free vegan muffins. And then all these recipes will just pop up and I don't have to like sift through Google or whatever search engine I'm using. But I would say mostly women are probably users specifically. Again, don't quote me. I'm not like a Pinterest expert or anything like that. But I would say users probably women only because there's so many recipes on there.
Recipes are the key.
You know, my husband's not making like DIY sugar scrub. I'm making it. Like, yeah. It's not interest. Like, he won't go buy it, but I'll make it. You know what I mean? He makes a couple of things for himself that he doesn't have to buy. But, and I'm saying traditionally, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I think traditionally it's women that make supper. It's traditionally women that DIY. It's traditionally women that craft. So, traditionally, these things, I think that's why there might be more women on Pinterest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would definitely men for sure.
Yeah, you gotta wonder, like, there's gotta be the same type of things, like for welding and stuff like that. Like, it's gotta be on there. It's gotta be.
Oh, for sure. I'm sure if you were searching, like, anything, you know, like, there is a whole section on, like, automobiles. Like, probably how to fix your car, probably how to DIY something for your car, how to fix this. So, it's definitely there, but I guess my lens is those, I'm not searching for automobiles. So yeah. I could be totally wrong. It could be 50-50. It's just my lens. I see crafts all the time. I see fashion. I see those things. I'd have to Google it and see what the, I wonder what the distribution is. Again, you know, maybe you would go onto Pinterest and you start Googling automobile stuff or whatever it is you want to search for. Your lens is going to see all those things, not maybe fashion, right?
Yeah, yeah, I'm freaking out these days about converted school buses into little mobile, like, tiny homes. It's freaking amazing.
A friend of mine converted her school bus into a mobile home and traveled for, I'd like to say 2 years, but I think it was a year. She traveled all around the U.S. in her and went up to I think the Yukon as well with her family.
No way.
For a year, yeah.
No, you have to tell me. You have to tell me who that is. I'd love to get in touch with them.
Yeah. So her husband transformed their a school bus into a mobile traveling. I'll send you her for Pinterest. If anyone else wants it, send me a message and I'll send it to you as well. So her, you know, she's back now. She lives in Texas, but at the end of her feed, it's all like they're traveling, their bus, and everything like that.
So cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, seriously, Stephanie, this has been such a great conversation. Let me just
Thanks
say,
for having me.
Yeah, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. You got FedEx guys, you got kids running around. I really appreciate the time. Seriously, if you had to distill it down, you got any parting words for people of stuff that you've learned, something that you want to leave people with before we go?
I think generally in business is just to be consistent, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, posting on, you know, a blog, whether it's creating content, it's just consistent. And that's what everybody says. And it really comes down to consistency. So when I'm not consistent, guess what? Not going so hot, right? In the last 4 months, I haven't been able to be as consistent as I usually am. And it shows.
Yeah.
It really shows. You know, the consistency of reaching out to people, the consistency of getting a challenge up, the consistency of posting. Well, Pinterest is consistent because it's manual, it's automatic, but you know, getting on Facebook and all those things, I just think that consistency is just so key. And it's, the word is overused, but it's overused because it's true. Like,
yeah, it's like simple, but not easy kind of thing.
It is. Like, I go on Instagram and guess who I see all the time? The people that are consistently posting and they pop up.
Yep.
So now totally. I'm like, I need to post every day. So I pop up in everyone's face, not every 2 days, not every 3 days, literally every day.
Totally. Darlene says consistent and authentic, right? And that's also like something interesting too is finding authentic ways to be consistent, right? I feel like sometimes people just try too hard in a way. Right? They try way too hard and then it shows, you know? But yeah, no, seriously, I think consistency is key. And again, I think this has just been such a great episode. So again, thank you, Stephanie, for being here.
We'll have to do it again sometime.
We will. We will. And honestly, if I end up getting a school bus mobile home, I'm coming up and visiting you. So thank you so much, guys. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of Fire Builders Live. Again, we stream live Monday through Saturday at noon Eastern every day. So join us for another episode. And this is Josh and Stephanie signing off for another episode.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. All right, guys. See you later. Bye.
Bye.